Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Sessions podcast. My name is Mark. I'm here with Sergey Kostrovsky.
Two doing hosts intros again
of the episode
of the podcast. We never do intros. Wait. Question.
But sometimes it's worth it because I don't know who's listening. Might be somebody new and you're like, who are these fools?
When are we going to drop? Hold on. This just came to my mind because you brought it up ages ago. But when are we doing the jingle?
Screw. I was thinking about that.
We need that jingle to be a trending audio on IG. And guess what, dude?
True.
Then the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Session pod and Mirror Coffee Roasters is going to be
trending
going off.
For real.
Trending for real. Nice.
I think I might have. It's a hot, actually.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's very piping hot.
What'd you do?
I don't know. No, I don't know. Speaking of piping hot and batch brews, maybe it's time we ditch the Breville for the
new fellow drop today or yesterday.
Yeah. Well, now that when this podcast airs, it's gonna be last week.
Yeah. That's right.
So
yeah. Also,
but yeah, it looks promising. I was looking at a video, and the guy, their VP of R&D or whatever, saying how you could actually program like bloom, you can actually program temp. So I don't know if I believe him, but because he was saying you could bloom with one temperature, and brew the rest with another temperature, because they use this like a similar heating concept in the
as
stag,
an espresso as machine.
As the stag.
I see.
And so apparently it's very stable and to the point where you could actually like adjust like it to that, you know, to that detail, which for a home batch brewer, I mean, it's tough enough. Like you usually get only like a 4-degree window.
Yeah.
And it's like on or off.
Yeah.
You're going to get it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It kind of sounds promising.
Yeah. I like
maybe
it.
It's the new mirror pod batch brew.
I mean, I told you this morning, like, it's time. It is time to walk away from the
it's so Breville solid, though.
Dinosaur.
I mean, I'm not. I have nothing against the Breville,
dude.
Precision brewer. It's a precision brewer.
It's so precise. It's so 10 years out of date, dude. It's 10 years out of date. Like when,
dude, when a batch brewer can be 10 years out of date and still crush.
Dude,
timeless.
It's definitely not crushing as much as a ratio timeless. 6. The only reason we don't use a ratio and I love ratio. I'm not gonna start going into the pit of what I don't like about the ratio because everyone knows.
Well,
they supposedly fixed that issue. Dude, I hope
it's about time.
Garrett from Perfect Coffee Water.
Yeah.
I hope that he picks up that carafe. I'm ready to swap out that carafe. Like one of the major reasons I don't brew enough batch brew at home was, I mean, I don't always need like 6 cups of coffee, but sometimes I just want like in a batch brew. Batch brew has just such a significant differently taste than a pour over.
It does.
And most of the time I enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
But the reason I don't or I hesitate is because of that carafe.
Yeah.
I almost swore on the pod. Would have had to add the little E. That's how much I don't like that freaking carafe, dude. Yeah. It's so dumb.
It's pretty bad.
Sorry, ratio. Sponsor us. We'll make some changes.
Why? Like,
or are we gonna move on and go with fellow?
Well, it's like why? Like you're gonna create a batch brewer that has to come with a carafe, and then you're gonna miss the mark on the carafe. I don't know.
And also, the carafe is the most used part of the batch brewer.
That's what I'm saying. Like. I don't know. Anyway. What do you think of this batchy?
It's fine. It's okay.
I think it's a hair fine. A hair fine.
Too fine?
I could use some brightness. But other than that, I actually like it.
11.3? 11.4. Yeah. 11.3. Is that Ethiopia?
No.
Good. No. The reason I said that is because I was like, oh, dang. Did you throw in one of my roasts?
Mm-mm. No, I like this because it's got great sweetness. It's got some nice acidity. It's has those stone fruits. It has a little bit of citrus in there, and it's balanced.
Yeah.
It holds itself. It's intact, the entire experience. It just may not be like the wildest, wonkiest, you know, coffee. It's not like blueberries, pomegranate, raspberries, florals, all this stuff.
Grilled pineapple.
Exactly. It doesn't have that.
No.
But again, like, I really like this.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's the Jorge Mendez.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. It's nice. Can't complain.
Yeah.
When was this roasted?
I'm not concerned. It was roasted a little recently. I think it was just 7 days ago or on the 1st, I guess. Yeah, so I can't complain. I like it. So
solid.
Yeah.
Sick.
But hopefully everyone listening to the podcast enjoyed last week's episode with Alex Schroeder. And we touched up a little bit on food in the cafe. But as I was thinking the other day, that I think it deserves just a little more conversation because it's interesting. I remember like when you were still living in Florida, and then when you just moved here, that conversation about like, is food necessary? Like, can you as a cafe, can you just serve coffee and that's it? And will people even show up for just coffee and that's it? Or do you even need to, like, you know, or do you need pastries even? But then is coffee and pastries kind of where you should end as a coffee shop? Or should you actually start building out a food program, a food menu, which then there's, you know, all kinds of challenges that come with that. You know, all of a sudden now you need to place where for your people to prep food. All of a sudden now you need different, you know, more extensive health code, whatever things. You need more space, infrastructure. You actually need a menu. Other than if you just, you're like, I just want eggs and bacon and a bagel, then sure, you can come up with it on your own. But, you know, you still need somebody to be like, okay, this is what we need. This is what's actually going to taste good. And so, I don't know, just to start it off, what do you think about just either having food or no food? Like, is that a, for you just as a consumer, is that a big deal for you to go to a cafe that has stellar food as well as some really excellent coffees?
Yeah, two things come to mind. One, do you remember when I went to Camber for the first time? I kind of remember day.
Yeah,
it was a while ago, 2018, I think, 2017.
Right. Soon after they opened. Yeah,
they were, at least from conversation with other people, they were predominantly known for what, their lamb burger.
Oh, dude!
Right?
Whoa! Like, you just opened up a can of worms there.
Right?
The lamb burger was
right.
Ooh!
I'm telling you. Yeah, that was what I heard people talking about, was the lamb burger. And that's not a breakfast item.
So, yeah.
But I remember going to Camber and basically drinking the coffee. I went there for the coffee because I knew Camber is a roasting company that was crushing it. Right. Even when I lived in Jacksonville, people were talking about Camber on the East Coast.
For sure.
So I was like, whoa, that's from my hometown, from Bellingham. That's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
But then I heard they had food, and all of a sudden my instinct was like, oh, got a little bit of tense in my stomach, feeling like, how could they betray specialty coffee by offering food?
Right.
100%, it's like, wait, are you a coffee shop? Do you even believe in third wave? Like, why the F are you serving food?
Kind
of thing. That was my initial like gut feeling. And I kind of hated that idea for a while and kind of fought the idea of ever having food. Now contrast that with recently I consulted for Soloway Coffee, which is a Ukrainian coffee company that moved to the United States, and they're in Chicago and they're blowing up. And one of the main things I talked to them about after the grand opening was, why is there not enough food?
Oh, interesting.
So obviously my perspective on food in the cafe has changed a lot, which I say that because I think we have to broaden the view of what the purpose of a coffee shop or a cafe. I think the original word for cafe is to have food, right? I might be wrong. Someone can, don't quote me on that, but fact check me on that. I know there's a few listeners that love to fact check me. And you know who you are. Do the fact checking. The original concept of quote unquote cafes is to have like a little croissant sandwich and a coffee.
Right, right.
But I might be wrong. But with that perspective, I think it's important to be able to provide food in the context of we're going to serve superb hospitality and have a all-in, like this excellent form of service that mm-hmm. doesn't only provide a good beverage, but provides food that either the beverage accompanies the food or the food accompanies the beverage. Mm-hmm. Like it's a play, it's a relationship there, right? Mm-hmm. So I think food is absolutely obnoxiously crazy, even to the point where I was just talking to our buddy Garrett from Perfect Coffee Water, and he's heading up to Chicago. I was like, mm-hmm. homie, like you need to go to Soloway just to try their breakfast.
Yeah.
Their breakfast menu is absolutely obnoxious. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
So I think food is super important for a cafe or a coffee shop model. Now I'm also like, dude, if I could have it my way, I just would love to just have a tasting room too.
Right.
Where right. that a coffee tasting room is kind of, you know, not, it doesn't include food. It's more of a, hey, come and experience the coffee. Mm-hmm. And that is a very big difference that we need to keep in mind is like, what's the model that you're going? Are you like a coffee shop cafe or are you a tasting room? And then the other big question is like, how are you going to sustain that business model with the product that you provide? Mm-hmm. Because I think majority of the people entering a coffee shop are not only looking for a like a bangin' pour over or mm-hmm. a shot of espresso. There are those people. There's a lot of those people. But I would say the majority is still looking to get some caffeine with some food.
Interesting.
Am I wrong? Am I right? Yeah. I mean, how did that work for you in Primer? Because Primer had some absolutely obnoxious Liège waffles.
It's true. We had... Probably, I'm not much of a waffle guy. Just,
I think they're. Are you kidding me?
I think they're. No, well, listen, I think they're great. Like, sorry, no, I'm not going to say they're great. I think it's good. I think it's solid. That's about it. That's as far as waffles go.
Sorry, waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Yeah, waffles.
But I will say, right before I started working for Primer and when I started working for Primer, they had some of the best waffles. I've ever had. Yeah. I ever laid eyes on, sunk my teeth in,
dude.
Like it was iconic, and yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, you'd walk in there, you buy. There was like a, I believe there was like a package deal, like a batchy with a waffle,
dude. Combo number five, it's, dude.
It's hey, go. I'm all for bundles and combos. Like I think we need to bring that back to the cafe model. But that all being said, like I love their waffles. Mm-hmm. I think it was a cool concept, and I think it's also which we've talked about this on the podcast. Coffee culture in the United States is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it's like kind of divvied up into either A, you need a caffeine hit and you just need to get, you know, juiced. You just need mm-hmm. to get like zapped with energy. Or number two is you go there and it's like your second office and you go there to work. Mm-hmm. And chances are not only are you needing a little bit of caffeine, you definitely need the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And if you can add in like a small little treat that you can snack on while you're working, it's great. And I think that also shapes our consuming habits and mm-hmm. what we look for in cafes. Like it wouldn't make very much sense for a lot of those people to go to a coffee shop that just serves, that's just like a tasting room or like an experience, like a coffee experience.
Right.
Which from a business model standpoint, it makes things a little more challenging. Mm-hmm. I remember this was about 8 years ago. Bellingham did not have any specialty coffee. Well, sorry, we did, but it just wasn't kind of the style that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And actually, Edwin from Onyx started Onyx Coffee Bar.
Yeah.
Which was in this hole in the wall, literally probably smaller, maybe just smaller. Slightly smaller.
I was just talking to Kevin about this 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
And all they did was they were open Saturday, Sunday, I think. They only made pour over coffee.
Yeah.
They had no sugar, no milk. You walk in, you get a brew.
Yeah.
and you either sit on the three chairs like at the right at the bar, or you just take it to go, and there's some slight seating outside. I loved it. I was all for it.
I mean, Kevin told me why they weren't allowed to have milk.
Why?
They didn't have the light. I don't think they had the license from
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, like the, no dairy was allowed. Okay. Like they, so.
Well,
I know people gave him so much crap, dude, about they like, got, oh, you don't have your Elitist. And I'm like, dude, like, Kevin was like, it wasn't really that. It was just like, we couldn't.
Yeah, they got some heat. And then they also didn't have any Wi-Fi.
No, no.
So literally, if you showed
you're talking about a closet, dude. Yeah. Literally, a big walk-in closet.
But selling really nice coffees. Yeah,
they're featuring Onyx Coffee Lab. They feature all of the goodies. Yeah.
So Onyx, they were, anyways, a lot of really great cafe roasters. And so if you were there, you were there for the coffee. Mm-hmm. And that experience was fun. But I don't know if it was, again, from a business model standpoint, that's possible. And I think it can be possible. You just have to really commit to it and figure out how do you trim everything in the business model to support it so that it is sustainable.
Yeah.
And you might have to adjust how, you know, your 5-10 year plan of how you're going to scale that model. But
there's plenty of people who don't want to scale.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true. That's a whole different conversation.
And it reminds me like I don't know, in Vancouver there was a guy named Eldrick who's to be owner of Harkin Coffee.
Right.
He had like a little nook in an antique store and was serving some of the most banging AeroPress brews and
two chairs. That's it. It was two phenomenal stools, technically.
It's good. Great. But you've worked around cafes. How long has it been now? 10 years?
What? No. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. All the way from you worked at Sippers?
Yeah. 2017. Well, fall of 2016.
Okay. So eight.
I guess.
So we're getting
there. 2017. Listen,
we're
dude.
Getting there.
No, dude.
We're getting there.
Okay. I have not spent a decade in coffee.
We're getting there. So throughout your years, what do you think it's like, just from, we've talked about like the consumer approach to it. What do you think from like a business standpoint, like have you preferred having food be part of the coffee shop model? Have you not? What are some of the, give some enlightenment in case there's somebody listening who's like, I'm considering opening up a coffee shop. Do I need to make room for food or not? Do I have to?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, 100% make room for food. Okay. It's good from a hospitality perspective, like serving people, you just got to have food. The expectation is there. The desire for it is there. And from a business model perspective, I think that's the way to grow and scale and make sure that your cafe is sustainable. Mm-hmm. The margins on like strictly just playing off of margins on lattes. Yeah. I don't think you can make a sustainable cafe based on just selling lattes. Wow. It's similar conversation to remember back in the day when we talked about should specialty cafes or third wave shops even have syrups on bar?
Yeah.
It's similar. Like, yes, you should like have some excellent syrup, make your syrups the most unique, best thing you can do, and make your signature beverages obnoxious in the same way you do with that kind of context, make food that is absolutely obnoxious. Like I have insane amount of respect for places like Proud Mary because like when you and I go there, our bill and our ticket is over $200. Why? Because of course we're having some slammer espressos, some crazy pullovers, but we're also like, we're at least getting one or two dishes each to eat. So that's it. I think the reality is like cafes don't do food good enough. They should do food better. I also think about it from the perspective of there's coffee shops that bring in food as a complimentary item, but then there's places like Noma, you know, the one of the best restaurants in the world who serves Tim Wimblebo.
Yeah.
I can never say Tim's last
Wimblebo.
Name. Wimblebo. Wimblebo, homie. Yeah. When they bring Tim, that Tim, sorry, no
disrespect.
Tim.
Sorry, you're we a love legend.
You. We you're a legend. No disrespect. No. Buy some of your coffee this week, please. It's been a while.
No, that's not
Timmy. But yeah, like that kind of model, when a insane Michelin star, the cream of the crop, the best restaurant in the world, brings in a coffee course. Like that's absolutely bonkers. And I think that's important. So
that's interesting because Oh, it's almost like they're bringing in a coffee, like a really nice coffee program experience, but that's complementary to everything else.
The food, right?
Like cafes have the opposite, where most of the time it's, you know, you go in for the coffee experience, but the food is like a second thought.
Yeah,
it's just like a little treat on the side.
Yeah,
and very few people do it like Proud Mary.
Yeah,
where it's like, no, if you don't drink any coffee at all, you're gonna have a stellar experience.
Yeah, and I think those are the places that I would recommend. Like, I also think, like, for example, Narrative has the best biscuits in the United States, hands down, easy, probably the world, hands down. I mean, okay,
slow down.
What are you thinking? Pine
State? Slow down.
No, don't compare.
Bro, slow. No. That was too bold of a claim.
No, I endorse this. I endorse that 100%. My favorite biscuits.
Yeah.
Especially when I pop them out of the oven and get to eat it like an hour after they were cooked. Actually, side note, okay, this is a rabbit trail. Maddie and I just made some lemon curd. Mm-hmm. Have you had lemon curd before?
I don't know what that is. God. What are you talking about?
Lemon curd? You've never had lemon curd on a biscuit? Please show up to Narrative, order a biscuit.
It's like lemon jam or what?
It's like a lemon cream.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a must.
Maybe, I probably have had it. I just didn't know it was called lemon curd. Like, that's
epic. It. Yeah. So stuff like that I think is like fairly unique.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to put in to make something that tasty.
Let's steel man that opinion and say, why would you talk somebody out of adding space for a food menu in a coffee shop?
Oh, not everyone has the infrastructure. You have to build out a whole different infrastructure.
Yeah. In what way? Are you talking about space, or are you talking about
space, like, teams, equipment, team,
or what?
Hiring people who are able to execute at the level. Like, if you're serving Mikava and Geshas, your biscuits better be the best in the United States.
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if your biscuits are not as good as your Mikava pour over, then that's a problem.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you've seen working in multiple cafes with multiple different food programs that cafes have run into with specifically food?
Challenge. I mean, there's a lot. Like, one, I mean, the reality is, one of the things that has been super difficult for me right now is, like, our equipment, like our fridges keep going out. So there's way more equipment to, like, manage and to be able to upkeep and all of that. But also finding people who, at least for me, it's easier to find people who are, like, super stoked on coffee, right? Like,
it's easy.
It's not easy. Yeah, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But one of the hardest things is hiring in a cafe setting, hiring for, like, a next level chef.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Especially because a lot of the cafe menu, a lot of the times, is heavily on breakfast. Mm-hmm. And breakfast doesn't have, it should have more creativity. So a lot of high-end chefs get bored with a breakfast menu,
right?
And they don't have those juices. But to find someone who is like, okay, like for example, I want to be a Michelin star chef and I want to work at a coffee shop.
Right, right.
Like, find people like that. That's really, really hard. So to find staff who are willing to develop, grow that, like, it's insane. Like, breakfast is like one of my favorite times, like a favorite courses of food. Like, I love breakfast. Like, there was a time where we made either it was like avocado toast with egg and caviar or salmon roe.
Yeah.
Like, insane. Like, stuff like that. That's like absolutely like super tasty. I could eat it every day.
Yeah.
But need to find the people that could execute that in the cafe and to find that passion and that, like, to match the same passion that people have to, like, have the best extraction of a shot of espresso.
For sure.
To match those passions, like, it's very hard to find in a cafe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless you have the infrastructure and you have the pull, there's like big names like we talked about, like, you know, Proud Mary and all the other cafes that have that pull that bring that group of people in. But yeah, staffing is hard. And then secondly, equipment upkeep is also challenging. It's just, you have to have a bigger infrastructure. That's it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming also it's very dependent on, again, just like in coffee, like how much I hate to say, like, how much are you going to care about it? Because I think everybody cares about it. But, like, are you going to be the coffee shop that serves only geishas? Or are you going to serve a dark roast? You know, are you going to serve an 84 alongside maybe an 87, 88 coffee? And same in the food. Like, is it just going to be, you know, ready, heat up, quick?
Yeah.
Throw it in the toaster, oven, or whatever those things are. And then you're good to go.
Yeah.
And which I think there's a place for that. But I think within all of this is, like, figure out for yourself, like, every decision that you're going to make is going to come at some cost. Because all of a sudden now, if you have, you know, somebody working behind the kitchen now, from for your marketing efforts and your communication efforts, now you not only need to communicate about your coffee, but now about your food as well.
Right.
So there's, like, a lot of these things attached to them, and all those things are just going to take more time, more effort.
Yeah.
And you just need to figure out for yourself what is enticing. I think,
I gotta say, like, I also respect the perspective of, like, the Cat and Cloud Squad. Like, there was an episode. I forget what number of the episode it is, but there was a Cat and Cloud episode where they talk about the chicken sandwich. Like, Chris and Jared are, like, either they created a chicken sandwich or one of the, or something like that, or they had a pop up or something like that.
Yeah.
But they just went off talking about a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And, like, I have mad respect for that. And I absolutely love that because they're talking about an element of food. And you also don't always consume a chicken sandwich with coffee.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that was a pairing thing. It's just, like, they love tasty stuff. And if you love tasty coffee, why not have tasty food? You know? And I think the limitation, like I said, a lot of the times it's can't find the same passion for, especially for us coffee folks, we're kind of in an echo chamber and this little bubble where we all have the folks who talk about latte art, talk about competition coffees and 100%. All of that. And there's not enough people in our bubble and our circle that talk about food the same way.
Yeah.
Like, we have latte art throwdowns. Why are there not, like, avocado toast throwdowns? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right,
stuff like
that.
Like, it just doesn't exist within our cafe model, which kind of sucks. Like, I think it should be there. But also, after working a decent amount of time in the industry, my opinion has changed on that because I used to be opposed syrups in a bar, on a coffee bar, and I used to be opposed food in a cafe. Yeah. And now I'm like, please execute those. I love creating custom syrup for a Sig Bev or creating something like that. I think it's very important.
For sure.
So yeah, that's kind of where I've landed so far. Like, I want to see more. Again, if you haven't been to either Soloway in Chicago, or you haven't been to Proud Mary, if you haven't been to Narrative, if you're in town, like, especially Narrative Everett is, like, crushing some tasty food right now. You got to check those out, and to see food executed well, that would be some of my recommendations to check out.
If you ever get a chance to go to Proud Mary in Texas,
have you been in that location?
No, I really want to, but not very many good reasons for me to go to Texas as of right now. I'm sorry, but
don't you have a friend there, dude?
Or Portland? Both of those cafes I think are must if you're ever on the West Coast or down. But that being said, as we land the plane, I will also give a shout out to Layla Bagels. So
did Lena hook you up?
I was
brother.
California, down in LA, Venice Beach, Santa Monica, and Lena. That was excellent. Hooked me up with a tasty little pour for a cap, and it was just exceptional. I thought it was pretty tasty.
No, I gotta say, Lena, that's not a Narrative top heart.
I thought it was great. Yeah. And then we ordered, like, a bagel with, like, some salmon on there.
Yeah.
It was really great, overly loaded, just lovely. And then she brought out, like, a little treat for us,
which
is, like, some, they have this, like, bagel with cream cheese with, like, two sliced fruits. I think one of them was, like, a grapefruit with, like, honey sprinkled, like, layered over it. It was a thing that I, like, if I saw it on the menu, I'd be like, I'm not interested. But when it came out free,
savage.
And I tasted it. I'm like, yeah, I would come back and order that
again. Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you just need a little Costco sample to win you over. So shout out to Layla Bagels in Santa Monica. If you're ever around, go give him, pay him a visit.
Aside now, how was Nicely?
That was great. Nicely's great. Venice Beach. Honestly, he's one of those guys, like, his model doesn't make sense to me, but he crushes. He's like, dude, by himself, legend, behind the bar.
Yeah.
There's like a line out the door, and he's like, hey, how's it going, my guy?
Yeah.
Just, oh yeah, you want a cap? Yeah, sure, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you doing? Like, oh, and I'm like, bro, there's a line out the door.
Yeah, super chill.
Just cruising. Just ripping. That guy's a
legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
love it.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys, for all of you, several hundreds and hundreds of people that keep tuning in episode after episode. Thank you. If you are just joining in, feel free to go back to the archives, dig through some old episodes, but
or don't.
Or don't. Yeah, don't go before episode 45, probably. That's spooky. What episodes, we try to pump them out weekly.
Yeah.
Some fun content for you guys to, you know, indulge in. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.